hit it again. Seems to be working anyway. So it's March 5th, 2010, and I'm in Rosse talking to Cynthia Keddy, who was Streeter, and I'm talking to Mary Ellen Driscoll, and I have permission to interview them for the History of Rosse book. And now I want to know a bit about the Streeters, because when I was at the golf club, I was reading Percival Streeter. So was he the first Streeter to live in Rosse?
Yes.
He was.
He came here as an immigrant from the United States to get a job in 1922, because after the First War, there weren't many jobs to be had. And
right.
he worked in the United States for a paper company, and they sent him to Canada. It was an Oxford paper company, and they owned a mill in Minto.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a job already with them, and they sent him to New Brunswick to run this mine in Minto.
To run a mine?
Yeah, coal mine.
Okay. Wow, well, that's a coal mine. But then what about the paper?
Well, it was the Oxford Paper Company, and they had a coal mine which fed part of their business.
Oh, okay, interesting. So then,
I think they used the coal to, you know, manufacture the paper.
And that was in Minto?
Yes.
But then, did he live in Rosse then, or...?
He lived in St. John, and that's where he met my mother.
Okay.
And then after they were married for, four or five years...
What was her name?
Her name was Hortense Maher, M-A-H-E-R.
M-A-H-E-R. H-O-R-T-E-N...
S-E.
Hortense Maher, from where was she, a St. John?
She was a St. Johner, yeah.
St. Johner, okay. So they met, and when did they marry?
They married in 1929.
Okay, and when did they move to Rosse?
Well, they summered in Rosse from, say, the early 30s, maybe 31 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been 33, I don't know.
Okay.
But they summered there until the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
When they got the house that's there now, and they summered there for a few years. Maybe mm-hmm. they got that earlier. They got
okay.
that earlier, but then they summered there for a while, and in 1947
mm-hmm.
or 48, they winterized it and enlarged it, because by that time there were six of us.
So moved in with the six kids. Wow. Okay.
You weren't born when they moved in, were they?
No. That's what I said. They moved in. They were summering there. When
okay.
they winterized, I was born then.
Well,
were you?
Oh, yeah. I was 3.5 years old when they moved there. And after it was winterized. I wasn't there in the early 40s when they were summering there.
Just for the record, when was Jim...
But when all the construction was going on and so...
Oh, I was there. Right there with Wren Carpenter, my idol.
Yeah, with all his language.
Yeah.
So
I'll never forget you.
So Jim was born in 33. Who's the oldest?
My brother Joe was the oldest. He died, but he would be 80 this year.
80 in 20.
So he was born in 1930.
Okay, good. And so you.
And my sister was born in 32. And then one in 33 and one in 35. And one in 41.
And when are you born?
44.
And you're the last in 44. So, okay, now Percy. He was known as Percy.
No, he was known as Val.
Val.
Just, oh, really? Yeah. So Percival was known.
That was his real name.
Percival, known as Val.
Yeah.
Val Streeter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
Not Percy Streeter.
No.
No.
In the States, he was always called Pert. P-E-R-T.
Okay.
But when he moved here, I don't know why it changed, but he was always known as Val.
Now, I saw his name in several places in the golf club. Would he have started to play golf before he moved here? Like you say, he summered.
No, he would come out from St. John and play there.
But he would before moving here.
Yes.
Or...
Yeah. He moved before he was married. Before he was married, even.
Okay.
Because he came here in 22. He wasn't married until 29. And he had started to play there.
So that was really early on. I mean, it's been going since
1897.
Right, in St. John. Okay, so he must have been a good golfer, and also, I don't know if he was president, I think. I saw his name as president.
He was.
So he was sort of in administration and golfing. So do you remember anything about his golfing record? Any highlight?
Well, he played on a number of teams, both Canadian teams and maritime teams. He won the maritime amateur, I think, and the maritime seniors tournament.
Oh, okay, that's what I was reading. There was a plaque. There's a plaque then.
Yeah.
That's the Sports Hall of Fame plaque.
Yes, yeah, I think it might have named off a few of his victories.
He won the club championship, 13 times?
Yeah.
He was maritime seniors golf champion a number of times.
Okay.
I don't know how many amateur titles there were.
I don't know either.
He was chosen on Canadian teams, and he played...
Yeah.
I think he played maybe in the States once or twice, but he played in different places across Canada.
Okay, good. So he would have known Percy Thompson, is he?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Because actually my mother went out with him.
Yeah.
Your mother dated?
I don't know how much, but they knew one another.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He knew because Percy Thompson was...
He owned the...
Well, he invested megabucks.
Yes, okay.
Well, he gave the land.
Yeah.
Yeah, and had a mansion there. Oh,
yes.
60-room mansion. Wonderful. And Mabel, would you have known
Thompson.
Mabel?
It's her mother.
No, Mabel Thompson.
Oh, Mabel Thompson.
Yeah, Percy's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Mabel was a Canadian golf champ.
4 times.
Four in a row, and then a little gap. I think 5 altogether. Yep, yeah. Okay, so now...
That all would be in the Sports Hall of Fame thing at the club that you saw.
Yes, yes. I've got quite a bit of information about her. All right, now anything you want to say about the Streeters that...
Well...
Involved in
Dad was very involved and he loved it. And in the end, but very late in his life, he... financed the changing of the two holes, the sixth and the...
Oh, yeah.
They were always an annoyance, I guess, to players from however they were situated.
Yeah.
And so he helped see that through. And he was president at least once. And then my brother Joe...
I thought that was after he died that Joe did it.
The changing of the
holes? Well, he paid for it anyway.
Okay. Well, anyway, and then Joe was president there too. And he was involved in when they built the new club. And then Jim and Dick. Dick was involved in more so than Jim because in those years Jim was heavily into tennis.
Mm-hmm.
But he's been heavily into golf since that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Dick lived down there.
Yeah.
And he played with my father in many father and son tournaments, which mm-hmm. they won. And he was really into that. He had a couple of friends that he played with, like, all the time, like Mary Ellen and Bud Kennedy.
Yeah, those are the two.
Bud Kennedy, which was he
being
related
the son of the Kennedy house owners.
Because there was Arthur.
That was his father.
That was his father.
Oh,
his
so
father
Bud
ran the
is
taxi.
Arthur's. Oh, right, yes, okay.
And there were two sisters, Mary and...
Bud lives in Moncton.
Yeah, okay, we've got lots of information on the Kennedys, thank goodness, because that was so interesting. Now, tennis... Did you play tennis?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think I saw your name associated there. Oh, Jeff Schofield says he's sort of your generation. I talked to him a little bit recently. I've got a fair amount on the tennis club. Is there anything?
Well, anything in the way of real details, my brother Jim could tell you, because he was the president and in on the building of this club and previous running of the club and fundraising for this club.
Mm-hmm.
And helping, I don't know what you call it, in the way of being a supervisor under its building and helping to build the new courts.
Mm.
But he was one of the top juniors in Canada when he played there.
Oh, he was? He was a top junior? And
he was number 9 in Canada.
Oh, yeah? That's neat. 9th in Canada. And now, how would he be in age in relation to Hazen Short? Would he have been...
Oh, younger. Much younger.
Much younger than Hazen. Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. Hazen really was in 1919 he started winning
1900.
Stuff. No, 19... I think he was born in 1900. Yeah.
Okay.
So he started...
So Jim would be 30 years younger.
Oh, he's
at
okay.
At least than Hazen, but older than David.
Mm.
Right. Okay. Okay. So you... When... What decade would you have been hanging out at the tennis club? Because I was there in the sort of mid-60s on, and I remember Billy Billie Jean? No, Bobby.
Bobby Williamson.
Yeah, the Williamson sisters.
Okay. I was basically before that, although during sometimes. I was mostly there from 1954 to 1962.
And
I mean, I played in the summers when I came home from university and stuff.
Because it was sort of going, I hate to say downhill, but I mean, I heard it had a resurrection when they built the new clubhouse in the
when
early
Mike
60s.
Berry really got involved.
Well, no, but that was before he came here. I mean, he had played here, but they were in Westfield most of the time. Mm. They summered there. It was long before he moved here.
But then there was a real, because he was jumping around.
Oh, yeah, but that was when he came. That was the second resurrection. Because it was very popular in the days of...
your sister, Mary Claire McInerney, and all those people played in the 40s.
Yeah, and the Turnbull Cup, of course, was a huge boom.
Yeah, a big thing.
And then John Baxter was playing there, and a lot of other people. But then it went down a lot in the late 50s, and it came back in the 60s. I remember running a tournament there. They first started the Atlantic, I think it's called the Atlantic Junior Tournament. I don't know, anyway, whatever it was.
Yep.
I was chosen to run it this year, and I remember we had some people from Newfoundland that came over, which was a real first then. And I wasn't a junior anymore, but I was just out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was in the 60s?
That was in the early 60s. I would say I finished school in 62, and I think it might have been the summer of 62. Maybe 60. Yeah, 62 it
and
must have been.
The new clubhouse was around then, wasn't it?
It was around then. That was built... What's his name? Mackay.
Cam.
Campbell Mackay. Mr. Campbell Mackay, who ran Kingshurst. He gave a lot of money.
That's what Jeff says, that he was there. Jeff Kirsten was playing one day, and that a Mrs. Mackay went by and said, this place is just a mess, and that she stormed home and phoned up Bonnie Castle and different people, and pretty soon there was a new clubhouse. He had thought that they must have put money up for that. Well, I'll be talking to one of the Mackays. So.
Yeah, yes, he did. And then, as I say, Jim was really in on the ground floor
and
of
Jane
that stuff.
And Jane Mackay did something too, didn't he?
Jane?
Jay, Colin.
Oh, maybe, but he was away in those years. I don't think he was...
Okay, can we switch to just a bit on the Pony Club? Okay. Oh, my heavens.
Yeah, they've got lots of stuff there.
Do you have any, like, anecdotes in there? You know, just stories of crazy things that went on?
It's been so long since I looked at it, but I can tell you a good many crazy stories.
Well, tell me one. I mean, I've got it covered from... I joined in about 63.
It started in 52.
Yeah, I've got the history of the dates. I just want... So Mary... Oh, you were one of the first four.
Yes,
that's why there's a pony named Cynthia.
That's right.
Yeah, I've got
the only trouble was we thought she was mentally retarded because she was a crazy horse. But anyway...
And she got blinded, did she? That wasn't Cynthia. That was Judy got blinded.
Yes, well, Judy was named after Judy Logan. Margo was named after Margo Spencer, who is Margo Doyle now.
Yeah.
And Cynthia was named after me. And Anne was named after Anne Moore.
Okay, yeah, I got that. And
But they weren't the first ones. The first ones were little ponies that we got from Charlie Wilson, who owned, he owned these ponies. And
Shetland ponies?
They were only loaned to the Pony Club.
Yeah.
And he had, I think, one or two others that were loaned. And then the first purchase that the Owens were able to make were for these four ponies from Montreal.
Yeah, we've got
Then they got four Welsh ponies from, I'm not sure where. That was Glamour and Snowflake and Delilah and Rowanberry.
Yeah.
And then they went on big time after that.
Yeah. So your first teacher would have been Mary Oland.
Oh,
when
definitely.
You joined.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then I heard that it got to be she had too many people. It was it was too much time. So then she started hiring people. And I've got the list of the people that
she brought
came.
A major scrimmager from England. And then she brought
How do you spell that? Scrimmager?
Ooh.
Major?
S-C-R-I-M. I N G E R.
Oh, I don't have that name. Okay.
He was the first one, and he lived at Chatelon, and I don't know why he came here, or whether. I don't think he came here to do that, but I'm not sure. I think he was a retired military man. Actually, I'm sure he was.
That's not the one they called Inkpot. There was something they called Major Inkpot.
Oh, my God. No, it was Inkpen.
You're
right. He was the first one. It was Major Inkpen.
Yeah.
It was Major Inkpen.
Oh, he was not Ink? Ing? Because I thought Ink Pen.
Yeah, well, Ink. It was I-N-K-P-E-N.
That's a funny name.
I've got a book that he signed for me. I think I got it.
No, that's all right. I've sort of got that history. What I want is an anecdote of what it was like to ride there. Like
It was amazing. It was truly amazing. Mrs. Oland seemed to have the fortitude and the vision to teach everybody everything they needed to know to ride horses, but all sorts of things that pertain to life and everything too. But she always knew when to turn her back and let you get the kinks out of things yourself.
Yeah.
And she used to train us, and when we first competed at rallies, we would train so far, and then she would say, well, just go and learn some things yourself.
Yeah.
And then when successive kids came after us, she would train them, and then she would say to us, who were seniors at the time,
yeah,
these kids know as much as they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Take them out now and show them the rough side so they aren't going to fall off and disgrace themselves.
Right.
And we used to take them out on wild expeditions.
Yeah.
Where they would, you know.
Up behind RCS.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
And I think your cousin Pat was one who fell off the bridge, that hanging bridge that was back of RCS there. And
okay. On a horse?
No, she got off first and the horse fell. It was Judy, I think, and the horse fell over. But, I mean, none of us was hurt, but it was a miracle.
Maybe
really.
That's when Judy got blinded in one eye.
No. But,
okay.
But Pat and Gay were, you know, very forerunners in anything as far as, you know, they'd try anything. And
yeah.
Me too. We used to go out behind the stable, take off our saddles right behind the stable, and then go roaring around the countryside bareback.
Bareback, yeah.
And when they were building the Mackay Highway, it was the best racetrack of all because it was all sawed ground before they paved it. And it was a straight line. You didn't have to turn any corners. You could just go as fast as you could go for any length of time.
Yeah. Wow.
So your horses got a little tired.
Yeah. And once in a while, we might fall off and the horse would come home. And, of course, Mrs. Oland would have a fit because... And then she'd go out behind the barn looking for us. And she'd see a saddle.
Saddles.
And then she'd know we were somewhere bareback and there's no chance we'd ever, you know, get through it all, but we did.
And tell me about this bridge. A walking bridge across Taylor Brook?
There was a hanging bridge across Taylor Brook way up behind the school. And
You couldn't ride your horse across it. You could just walk.
Well, you could try. That's what they were doing, I think.
Oh, my heavens.
And one of them sidestepped.
Yeah. Well... Maybe they were walking the horse, but even so, it was a bridge that wasn't any more than 3 feet wide.
Yeah.
And it was a hanging, you know, an old
fashioned. I remember that.
Maybe they went through it.
Yeah.
I don't really know the details.
Oh, okay.
But Pat could tell you.
Yeah, well, she's too busy to get, she said, she's got a movie going on at her house.
Oh, really?
That's
Pat?
Good. Yeah, I'll tell you about
Pat,
that after.
Yeah, Pat
Star.
My friend
Patsy.
Pat Star, the Pixie sister.
Right.
Anyway, we'll talk.
She's
about
got
it.
A movie. Going
yeah,
on?
I'll tell you after. Now, because this will run out of space. That's what's gonna. That's why I keep looking at it.
Okay.
I was gonna ask about. So then, Colonel and Mrs. Collings. Was that after?
They came in the late 60s. Let me see.
Yeah, I've got the date, but did they teach
63?
You? Did Mrs. Teach
not me.
You? No,
because
you,
I had left then.
Yes. Okay.
And there were the years I was living in Nova Scotia. But Pat was very close to them.
Okay.
There was a Mr. Pratt that came.
Yep.
And I don't know exactly when he left, but I would say he left in 64, and that's when the Collings came.
Yep.
But Pat was living here and working here, so that's why she had more contact with them.
Okay, and was Pat Steele younger than you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, because she was there. She was one of the old ones when I joined, older ones.
Okay, well,
okay.
Pat would only be...
Well, I'm going to...
She'd be 61, I think.
Jill, I think. Okay.
Jill would be 64 or 63. You know, thereabouts. But there's like stepping stones. They're like 11 months apart, kids.
Yeah.
Would Dick Oland have any material on this?
Well, that's where I got most of
the... Well, I've got a lot of... I've got the facts of the Pony Club, so I just wanted a story, so you gave me one, so that's good.
And there were lots of stories of kids going out west to rallies. I went to the first National Rally, Inter-Pacific it was called. And at that time they only had Australia, Canada, the United States, a couple of other teams. But now they've got Japan. Now it's a big deal.
And where were you for that?
Well, that year it was in Canada. And it was
in
Northern Ontario in Aurora, I think. Newmarket.
And you used to go to the Maritime Winter Fair, didn't you?
Yeah, I started there. And then it became Then it stopped for a while, and then they started the Atlantic Winter Fair. But by that time, I was married, but I was still competing.
Okay. One thing, where did Mary Olin learn to ride?
Her father had horses. They lived, you know where Dick lives, across here?
Mm-hmm.
The Franks.
That's where they lived, the Franks.
And during the war and all, she always wanted to ride. Her sister, I think, was very artistic, or
But who would have taught her? Who would have taught Mary when there was no pony club, you know?
I don't know, but I think her father rode as well.
Okay. Okay.
And I think it was just something she loved.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe she learned a lot on her own. I don't know.
Okay. He might have ridden, he played golf.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well that's certainly...
And you know who could help you in some of those things? Yeah. Is Mrs. Joyce Crosby. You know, Joyce Crosby lives in New River now. But she seems to remember, I know we've had this conversation before, about a lot of things that were old things, like she remembers feeding the hobos off the train right after the war.
Joyce Crosby, is that Joy's mother-in-law?
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I've got some memories of Margie, who would be her daughter, right?
Yeah,
Margie, okay.
Yeah.
Can I switch now just to a bit of tennis here with Mary Ellen Driscoll? Your name is Driscoll?
That's right.
Okay, and so... So, Mary Ellen, you told me you started caddying in 1946 at the age of 9.
Yeah, 1946, 47, somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there. You were 9 years old. And so you were living in Renforth or Rosay at the time?
Rosay.
Oh, you were living in Rosay. Okay.
Yeah, I lived in the house down in the park, about four houses from Cynthia. From when I was 2, I came out as a summer.
Right. You started coming out.
Yeah.
So you've been coming to Rosay since what? When did you start summering here, did you say?
When I was...
You were born in 37.
Yeah, well, probably the first year might have been 1940.
Okay. And what gave you the idea to caddy?
Well, my mother played golf every day, so she just made me caddy.
Now, what's your mother's name?
Mabel,
and so she married a Driscoll.
Mm-hmm.
And what was her, just for the record, what was her birth name? Her
maiden name? Scully. Mabel Scully, yeah. She was Maritime Badminton Champion and Maritime Tennis, so.
She was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you come by your DNA naturally.
But she didn't play golf all that well. She had 19 handicap.
Okay, so when you were a caddy in 46, were you allowed to play in the mornings, that business?
Yeah, it'd be up till 9:30 in the morning.
Okay. So would you do that?
Go on my bike down with 3 or 4 clubs in the parcel carrier there in the front of the thing and go out and play.
Were there many other girls caddying, or was it mainly
a boy?
No,
there were only about 3 or 4 of us.
And who were you? Do you remember the names of any of the people, the guys you caddied with?
No, not Dougie Sanders.
Okay.
And who plays golf at Riverside now. And all those people, like Bill Bishop and that crowd, all caddied.
Yes.
I caddied for my mom, and then the caddy fees, I don't know, she didn't pay me. She paid me a quarter and told me it was the privilege of being in her company or something. Then Cynthia's dad played with a Mr. McInerney who had a heart condition, so he couldn't play unless he had a caddy or wanted a caddy, so I can remember caddying for him when I was at Netherwood, going to Netherwood.
Yeah.
School finished at 1 o'clock or something, and I'd bicycle down to the golf course and caddy. I much preferred caddying for Mr. McInerney because he paid me.
Paid more than a quarter.
Yeah.
And now it was 18 holes by then, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you would buy... When did you graduate Netherwood?
I didn't graduate from Netherwood. I went to Netherwood for 5 years, and then I went to the nuns... in boarding school in St. John.
Okay. What school?
Mount Carmel Academy. Oh, it was on Burpee Avenue.
Okay. Now, when did you start competing? guess against your buddies first, you know. But when was your first golf tournament?
I guess they gave me I think I was 14 when I was allowed to join. I had a junior membership when I was, you know, around 10 or 11. It cost $5 or something. Yeah. And you could play with a junior membership. I think you could play till 11 o'clock in the morning or something like that. It was, and then I said to my mom after I caddied for her for a number of years, Mom, anybody could play better than you do. You play every day and you don't get any better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bet her that if they got me a full membership at the club, that I'd have a lower handicap than she had in a month.
Huh.
And so that was my, I was playing tennis and I really didn't like golf, but I just bet her that I could get better. So I practiced and everything every day while she was away with my dad for 3 weeks.
Mm.
And I got different people that my mom had played with.
Yeah.
Each of them wants to play with me so they could sign my card, because she wouldn't believe me unless, you know. And I had an 18 handicap in 3 weeks, so I put my hand out for the $50, and then I was going back to play tennis, and she wouldn't pay me. She said, I'll take you to, she was going to the New Brunswick Provincial in the Maritime because they played bridge at night and stuff. She said, I'll take you to the New Brunswick Provincial in the Maritime, pay your entry fee and feed you. It'll cost me more than $50, but she didn't say anything more, so I wanted to make sure I cost her the $50, so I went and I ate steak every night. And anyway, I won the New Brunswick Junior, and she didn't tell me what, but she was just trying to figure out of how good I'd be in competition without saying. She never did say you're very good, dear, or anything like that. And then I won the Maritime Junior that same year.
Oh, okay. What year? Do you remember?
1952.
So that really was your first competition.
It was. That was the first competition, 1952.
47. So you were about 15 years old.
14. Yeah.
14 or 15. So
I was 14 when I won the junior.
So you're saying she didn't want to fork out the $50 for a membership because she didn't know whether you'd
be... No, it's not a membership, it was a bet.
Well, but I thought you wanted the bet so that you could get...
No.
Oh, okay.
I said to her, if you give me a membership, I'll have a lower handicap than you have.
Yeah.
Before you get home, and she and Dad were away for 3 weeks, and I
so she did pay for your membership.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then you practiced, and then you.
And I won the bet, which she wouldn't pay, and so she took me to the New Brunswick Provincial and the Maritime, and I won both of them, and then I love golf then.
Yeah.
You know, the mission that she had was accomplished. I mean, she. But she never sort of praised me and said she didn't believe in that kind of pressure on the child, you know?
Yeah, good. I'm interested in Scully. Is that related to the, like, Mary Scully and the, the Scullys and Renfrew?
Frank Scully.
Frank, yeah.
Would be her nephew.
Oh.
Her oldest of the family, her oldest brother.
Well.
Frank was his child.
And I certainly know Mary. And who is a
super
golfer
athlete
and tennis, and so it's in your DNA to be coordinated. So there you go. Wow,
she's a great athlete.
So Mabel Scully is your mom and friend. Okay, interesting.
When you're frowning, you don't agree with that?
No. I'm just trying to figure out. I thought. See, when she said Mary Scully.
Mary Breen now.
No, she's Mary Breen. She married John.
Oh, that's right. It was Frank and B's daughter Mary that married John. Yeah. So I'm thinking. I was thinking Breen, and that's what got me confused. Okay.
Okay.
I gotcha.
So did you say that Mabel Scully, your mother, was from St. John or from Renforth?
St. John.
Oh, she was St. John.
West Side. Well, she was born in the West Side.
I wonder what brought Frank, her nephew, out to this area? Well, I guess a lot of people.
Well, he was in the Air Force during the war, and he married a girl from Saskatoon, I think B was. And then,
oh, B? Her name was Beatrice? B?
Yeah, his wife.
Okay, yeah.
And they lived at...
Well, in Rainsford.
I think, no, but they lived other places,
okay,
in the
yep.
city
yep.
When he came back from the war. I think mm-hmm. they initially lived in over in the North End, and then eventually... Mm-hmm.
Well, didn't he have a twin brother?
Frank?
No.
Okay.
Not twin, but Frank.
Because Frank and Frank lived in a house. The twin brothers had built these two houses side by side, I think, and they were exactly in a mirror image of one another. Two houses across from the Shore Road in the Renforth, that loop down by the McGuire
Center.
No, they
didn't live down there.
I remember hearing about that.
Frank didn't live down there.
So,
I'm sorry.
Okay. So then you were on your
way. I don't
think
so.
You were on your way in 1952. Did you, when did you, took lessons at the club too?
I took a couple of lessons.
You're mainly self-taught.
I had a couple of lessons from Don St. Clair, and then Archie Skinner was in St. Andrews, and Mousie Dowling in Moncton, you know, two or three.
Okay.
And then in 1953, I played in my first Canadian junior. I was on the Eastern Canadian junior team.
Okay.
There were four in the East and four from the West.
Okay, so one of four.
Yeah, they had Ontario, Quebec, and two from Ontario, one from Quebec, and one from the Maritimes on the Eastern team, and then the four provinces on the Western team.
And how did you ever do on the national?
Not very much. I was runner-up in the Canadian Junior and runner-up in the Canadian Amateur.
Well, that's quite something.
Well,
doesn't that
it didn't
you,
win it.
But doesn't that make you second best in the country?
Yes, it does.
That year.
When was that? When you're talking when you were a junior in 53?
No, I would have been... juniors went up to 21 in those years, and I think it was about 1956 or 7 that I was runner up in the Canadian Junior.
And you said you did that once or twice or?
No, I was runner up in the Canadian Junior once.
Yeah.
And then I was runner up in the Canadian Amateur.
That would be an open tournament.
Right.
Open tournament in 1965.
Huh. Okay.
And when do you have that accident? 57?
Yes.
Oh, and that affected your golf career in 57?
Yeah, because I'd won the Ontario, the Nova Scotia Amateur and the New Brunswick and the Maritime, and then Beth Newell
drove me. But you recovered. I mean, you were off that summer.
Yeah, well, Beth Newell drove me around to them, and I lost them all, but, you know.
Was this a car accident?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I was unconscious for days.
Oh, really?
She had a telephone pole at the bottom of Dunedin.
Oh, yeah.
And the transmitter came off the phone, transformer.
Yeah.
And through the car.
And hit my head.
Never really hit.
Huh. Do you remember the accident happening?
No.
No.
Not really.
Wow. So you were unconscious for a few days?
Yes. I don't know. Cynthia.
We did the same thing. I mean, mine was a car accident.
Yeah.
But I beat you for unconsciousness, though.
So. You were unconscious longer than I was.
Jeepers.
And I remember when I did wake up, Sin, I said, Mom, you look...
Would you like some coffee?
No, thanks, no.
Mom, you look terrible. I woke up and I...
Who said that?
I said to my mother when I woke up and I became conscious and she was in my hospital room and I said, Mom, you look terrible. And of course... It had been days she hadn't slept and besieged the heavens, and Dr. Rosen said, because she was putting St. Jude's oil on my head and saying a rosary, and when I woke up, Dr. Rosen said, well, a power other than medicine brought her out of the...
I woke up to Ann Plourd feeding me what I thought was a plate of spinach. Because in my unconscious state, when they used to ask me what I wanted to eat, and I would say spinach. Why? I don't know. But anyway.
That's funny.
And that was the first thing I remember.
Did you curl?
No.
Okay.
I curled to please my mother when she was diagnosed and was home dying of cancer. I took a leave of absence from teaching to be with her. And just to please her, because she was having a fit about this, like just being there and not doing anything, so I would go down to the club in the morning and curl, and hated it.
Yeah.
I froze to death.
I just slid all over the ice when I tried, and then I forgot to let go of the stone, and I went down the rink after it.
Yeah, and I'd send it to the backboards on the other end, and somebody'd say, look, don't throw it so hard.
You didn't get any lunch.
I'm not going to in a second. Okay. Just, does either of you have a memory of Caldwell's?
Oh, yeah.
Caldwell's
just went on a bit. Oh, of course, you're talking about when it was Caldwell's.
Yeah. Caldwell's in the old days. You know,
all my friends at grade school. Not all, but, you know, a whole lot of them came on the bus. Came from Caldwell's, all that area on the hill, and the new loop. That was the brand new loop behind Caldwell's.
Behind Caldwell's, yeah. When was that built? When are you talking, 50s or 60s?
Oh, 50s for sure.
Yeah. 50s for sure.
To,
probably about
55.
55, I was 50, just going to say.
56, maybe. 55.
I heard it was a bit of a hangout for men that would go play cards there.
Where, at Caldwell's?
At Caldwell's, yeah.
That would have been earlier than that.
Yeah.
Caldwell's had been there. Now, I mean, that's when I remember, because a lot of kids I went to school with moved here to live in those places that were being built behind the store.
Yeah.
But, now, you know who could tell you
about
Carmel
that? Caldwell is still alive. Carmen?
Carmen.
Carmen is still alive.
He's a chartered accountant, and he didn't work in the... Oh, he worked in the store a bit, but not much.
Okay, well... Thank
only
you.
When he
I'm
was
gonna...
probably 17 or 18, because he...
Yeah, I may talk to him. Okay.
And, well, I don't know if she will remember now. She's getting foggy. But Jane Brown is a huge help down there. Do you know Jane Brown?
Well, we've got her memoirs, so I could recontact her. Yeah, I just wondered if anything happened there.
You mean the one who was a CWL? Or...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
her husband was in the school board, wasn't he?
Kenny Brown, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got their memoirs. All right, well, I'm going to put this thing off now.
Okay.